Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
From KMOX Sports.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
Welcome to Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Oh, yeah!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome to the show. Yes, it was an emotional day yesterday for sure. There's no doubt about it. And thank you to all of our KMOX listeners for joining in with the Brock family in paying tribute to Lou Brock. The Cardinals fans are absolutely amazing. And all week, you have warmed the hearts of the Brock family with your tributes, your words, your comments on social media, and everything in between. It has been a very heartwarming time for the Brock family and a very painful and difficult time losing their father, their uncle, their friend, their hero, Lou Brock, at the age of 81, 1 week ago today. We will pay tribute to Mr. Brock in hearing some of those tributes from his celebration of life yesterday in Ferguson. That will happen today at 11:05. We'll hear from Mike Shannon and Ozzie Smith and Al Hrabowski, three former Cardinals players. Shannon and Hrabowski, teammates of Brock. Ozzie played for the Padres and then came over to St. Louis and ended up wearing a red jacket alongside Lou for many, many years. And we know that up in heaven, Stan and Red were there to greet him, and I'm certain that he's gotten maybe a couple of hits off Tom Seaver, and Seaver got him a couple of times up there. Two of the great guys in the history of baseball. It was Bob Kendrick, the president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, said it very well when he started his remarks yesterday by stating that he had a sense of calm over him when he drove over from Kansas City with a heavy heart. And I think we all felt that in the room yesterday. A private service, but was available to all through streaming, thanks to the Cardinals, that we felt a calm because Lou was in there with us. He was present with us. He always made us feel calm. I can't remember a time when he was not. And as Mike Shannon said, he was a fierce player and a fierce competitor. But as a teammate, I know I hear this from his former teammates, and as a friend, we can all tell you that he had a calming presence on all of us. He had a way of summing up what you were doing in your life, how he could impart some wisdom and faith interwoven into whatever you were doing and in your life. He had a way about him that made you feel calm and present, and he made you feel like the most special, important person in the world. Everybody that was in his presence, whether it was somebody meeting him for the first time, or a child walking up to him, or a family member, or a friend that he's known his entire life. He had a way about him that made you feel good about yourself. And that's about as good a quality as you could ever ask anybody to ever have. That is everything. And that's exactly what Lou Brock was and will continue to be in our lives, because there's no doubt in my mind that he will stay in all of our lives and help us through any hard times we ever have, including this one right now. So we are going to have sports on a Sunday morning, and Cardinals manager Mike Schilt will be with us in the 10 o'clock hour. He's going to be with us in 5 minutes. Mike was also part of the presentation yesterday via video. In fact, a lot of the Cardinals did contribute videos, Matt Carpenter and Adam Wainwright, and Cardinals coach, who is not with the team right now, he's in California, Willie McGee, gave a great one as well. There were a lot of them. It was so good, and I thought that Jackie Brock, especially with her eulogy, was incredibly strong, powerful, heartfelt, tender, uplifting. She is a blessing, and it could not have been done better the way that they set it up so that she could deliver and have enough time to deliver a eulogy that she just said right from the heart. It was unbelievably special, and a lot of those people that I mentioned, the Cardinals in that clubhouse, who could not be there yesterday, but they were watching via stream, and they were contributing via video. They came through last night, because last night was a night where you kind of hope they would win. You understand that baseball, it happens. It's hard to win in this game. There is no given ever in the game of baseball. But the Cardinals won, and they won big. They beat the Reds 7-1. We're going to talk to Mike Schilt about it. The things that happened in that game, I just kept thinking about Lou. When Harrison Bader, a player that he absolutely loved, hit a three-run homer, I thought of Lou. And when they finally got that out, and we're all staying up to listen to it and watch it, and we knew that was win number 20, that's pretty great. So we're going to talk to Mike Schilt about it. The Cardinals manager will be with us at 10:15. Then at 11:05, the tributes to Lou Brock from his celebration of life yesterday. At 11:30, the Cardinals president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak, will join us. And then at 11:45, we're going to be joined by St. Louis and Graham Bensinger. I don't know if you've heard about the comments that Dak Prescott, the Cowboys quarterback, made about mental health, about his own depression. And then I don't even want to give it the airtime, but Skip Bayless, the talk show host, who basically questioned Dak Prescott and caused a real stir through social media about some of his remarks, and he sort of apologized for it later. It was because of Grant Benzinger's interview. It was Grant Benzinger who interviewed Dak Prescott who made this news. So we're going to talk to Graham about that as we get into the NFL. NFL starts today. We had a game on Thursday, Chiefs and Texans, but the full slate is today. So we will talk to Graham about the NFL, and in particular about Dak Prescott. Then at noon, we turn things over to Cardinal baseball. It's a 12:20 start today as the Cardinals get ready to take on the Cincinnati Reds one more time. They will play today, and that is on its way on KMOX. The Cardinals are three games out in the National League Central. They are not done yet, no question. They are 20-19. They play today at 1:15. Carlos Martinez is on the hill. It's a big start for him. Big, big start for him. Cardinals manager Mike Schilt is next. We'll be with him till about 10:45 or so, and then we'll get into our tributes to Lou Brock from yesterday and beyond. That's on the way on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
The following is a special presentation of sports on a Sunday morning.
Welcome to the Mike Schilt Show on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
I'm Tom Ackerman. It is 10:18, and we welcome in the Cardinals manager at Busch Stadium as the Cardinals get set to take on the Cincinnati Reds today at 1:15. Mike, good morning. Always great to spend these moments with you. How are you?
I'm doing well, Tom. How about yourself, sir?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I wanted to tell you that you did a terrific job with your video tribute yesterday. All the members of your organization did in tribute to Lou Brock. Certainly contributed, as I said at the beginning of the show here, to really uplift everybody in the room. It's been a very difficult week, and everybody's remembrances of Lou have played a part in warming the family's hearts. I know that.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom. It was clearly a privilege to just be able to pay some tribute to a wonderful human being and clearly a historic, all-time great Cardinal. And I thought your words were very appropriate and from the heart and anecdotal. So nice job as well.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. He was a very special man. And, you know, it was a week ago, it was after our show that we did last week, later in that afternoon, that we learned about his passing. And I haven't had a chance to talk to you on this show about it. And I know that you've reiterated your great special thoughts about him. What I found in the video yesterday that I smiled at when you said it was that when you started in the organization, you saw him, but you weren't necessarily ready to go up and talk to him just yet. He did have that that great, not intimidating necessarily, but you were intimidated to first approach a legend like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was more about the name and the aura that comes with it. But his aura that he let off was so, disarming. And he just, like I said, he just had a nice light about him. And he was you could tell he was a very gracious, sweet, kind gentleman and had a welcoming way about him. And, you know, the million-dollar smile was a big part of that. And, you know, so it made somebody that's just appreciative of his talents first. And, you know, honored to have a chance to meet, a Hall of Fame guy like Lou Brock. And then after that, appreciate the gentleman that he was and how gracious he was, you know, to somebody who really, you know, was just cutting their teeth in the minor leagues. But he wasn't in a caste system. He didn't really care about anything other than you as a human, which made him very special.
What was he like in spring training being around your club, Mike, when you were able to see him interact with your players?
Well, you know, Tom, he really wasn't able to make spring training the last couple of years, while I've been the manager, but I have seen him interact with players and similar, you know, I think Wayno summed it up pretty well. He's just very gracious. He wasn't in anybody's face, but he was available. He'd been thinking about something. He usually had a tidbit or two if somebody asked or some encouragement, but, you know, he was just, he was just a guy that wanted to make sure, like a lot of the great Cardinals, when he wanted to be a good caretaker and a steward for the organization. I mean, he'd more done his part to continue to pass the torch, but he wanted to make sure that he was doing his part to keep things moving forward in a positive fashion on and off the field. And, you know, a lot of respect.
No question. He kept in touch with your team. He watched all of your games. He loved following your team. And in 2019, last spring training, I had dinner with him the night that Bader stole, I think, 3 bags in 1 game. And it was like it tied a spring training record for the Cardinals. So I told Lou, and he threw his head back and laughed and said, "You tell him." And then he passed along a few secrets that I don't know that I'm supposed to say publicly, but I passed along a few base running secrets from Lou to Bader. And Bader looked at me and he goes, "Wow." You know, and I knew that the two had such a great relationship, but that was a special one, you know, between Brock and Bader.
Yeah. No, it's good. That's kind of to my point about how he was able to pass on. And that's what is one of the main things, especially with organizations, people like to pass things on so things can continue to move forward in a positive fashion.
You had a positive game last night. What a great game it was. The Cardinals are no score in the first inning. You fall behind in this game 1-0. But then here he comes, Brad Miller, after Dakota Hudson is setting them down one after the other and still hasn't allowed a hit, even though the run scored. Here we are in the fourth inning, bottom of the fourth, Brad Miller.
A swing and a high fly ball center field. That's hit back. It might go. It's a goner. Tying the game with a home run way up on the grass in center field. Miller just hit his sixth.
Brad Miller hit that ball 446 feet. Mike, not a lot of people put baseballs up there. I mean, he smoked that thing into center field. That was a bomb from Brad Miller.
Yeah, you know, he got a change up down. Just really stayed on and stayed through it. The ball comes off his bat as we've seen, and got through it. And you know, it's a big poke right there. I mean, that's deep into that grass and that on that knoll freezes lawn. So impressive swing.
Yeah, big time. Brad Miller with the home run, and then Matt Wieters drove in a run with a fielder's choice to make it a 2-1 Cardinals lead in the fourth inning. Dakota Hudson, here he is, top of the sixth.
There's a swing and a miss, and that takes care of a very dangerous threat, Nick Castellanos.
Boy, he keeps the ball down, doesn't he? Also, that one he gets a strikeout, but Dakota Hudson with a tremendous game for you, Mike. He doesn't allow a hit through, gosh, what was it, about six innings, and ends up with a terrific game for you. His final numbers, when you look at Dakota, he goes six innings. He gives up one run on one hit. He walks four, strikes out four, and ended up getting the win for you. What has it been for Dakota Hudson, especially in that start?
You know, his stuff's good. He was in the zone. You know, he was darting a little bit out of it in the one inning that got him in trouble. But, I mean, this guy's got good stuff. He's got good heavy sinker with a life on it, and he's able to keep down. It's going, and he's got the slider to complement it. Couldn't get his changeup really going, but, you know, gave him something to think about. But, you know, sinker, slider going to both sides of the plate. Everything's late. Sinker's heavy. It's just a good combination.
And then in the bottom of the sixth, load up those fireworks. Here we go. Matt Carpenter.
Swing and a long one into right field. Get up, baby. Get up. 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 Oh, yeah. Home run for Carpenter. His third of the year. It just sneaked over the boards out in right field. And the Cardinals get their second home run of this game.
I like that call from Mike Shannon. That was a real get up right there. Here's Harrison Bader, two on.
And the 2-0 pitch. Here it is. Bringing a high fly ball into right field. Back goes the center fielder, and this one's got a chance to move the ballpark. It does. A home run, a three-run home run for Harrison Bader. And the Cardinals get their third home run of the game.
And they're not finished there. Paul Goldschmidt.
Here's a fly ball deep into right field. This has got a chance, and it's gone. It's the third home run in the inning, the fourth in the game for the Cardinals. And it's now 7-1. As Goldschmidt hits his sixth of the year, RBI number 16.
Where's the Cardinal offense? There it is. Cardinals power right there. Four home runs in the ball game. Miller, Carpenter, Bader, Goldschmidt. Let's first discuss Matt Carpenter, Mike, who hits one there. And I know that you've stuck with him, and he's been able to deliver for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's been able to take better bats the last week or so. You know, he's going to work his walks. We know that, which is can be productive and has been. But he's also, you know, he started a rally five-run inning in the Minnesota game, game two, at a line drive right by Dobnik, and, you know, started that thing off. And, you know, he's getting his RBIs. He's got a few ground-out RBIs, which they count. You know, that's still part of situational hitting, getting those guys in. You know, had a double the other day to open up a game a little bit off the lefty. And, you know, last night, nice short stroke on a ball up to left field, and then another nice stroke that got the head out a little bit more. And as Shannon wheeled it out of the ballpark, you know, for a nice home run for us.
Yep, and Bader with that three-run shot. Goldschmidt is just having some year, hasn't he? I mean, Goldschmidt is leading Major League Baseball right now, I do believe, in on-base percentage. I can't imagine anybody's close to him. I'll look it up to be sure, but I hate saying this, but I wish he had a full year. I wish it was a full 162 for Paul Goldschmidt, just so you could see what he could do this locked in. This is really special, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a pro, and he's, you know, he pretty much picked up, you know, second half of last season and just continues to go about his business. And he's, you know, had a great off season and great multiple breaks and camps and just mentally tough, physically talented guy.
I'm wrong, actually. He's third in Major League Baseball in on-base percentage. Soto's first at .485, Freeman .450, Goldschmidt .446. But, I mean, you look at what he's doing right now, it's a very special, talented first baseman and sometimes DH for you. Paul Goldschmidt, a 7-1 lead. So then, interesting, so I watched this entire game, and I saw you out there with Hennessy Cabrera when he was dealing with his finger issue. I did not... I pretty much understood what was going on. It was a fingernail, right, Mike, and that you were trying to inspect there. What's the latest on him?
I think he's going to be fine. His fingernail was coming off, and, you know, it's an issue with glue and you know, really applying it and getting it going. And just made a decision to look, you know, we'll get you in there another day, maybe today. But, no, he's going to be fine. He's dealt, you know, with the – came out of a game a little over a week ago with the fingernail, and it's just a – you know, pitchers have some different issues with their nails, and he's got an acrylic nail in there that kind of just came off. And so we got to continue to do a good job of keeping it situated on top of it, but he's going to be fine.
Now, this is not an easy deal now. You got to call on Tyler Webb at that point to get warm and get out there, and here he is, seventh inning.
There's a swing and a miss, and Galvis is out on three pitches as Webb strikes out the Cincinnati second baseman.
Here's Aquino.
And here's a fastball strike on the outside corner to Aquino.
And that is another strikeout. Tyler Webb comes in and does a job, doesn't he, Mike? Tyler has been tough in his career, especially against lefties, but he goes an inning and a third for you of scoreless ball, Mike, with those two strikeouts.
Yeah, it was a nice job. He did a good job the day before, scoreless inning, and Tyler's on the ball like he's capable and making pitches, and nice to see we go out and, have a big inning. We get that big, shutdown inning. And hold on to the lead, and Tyler did a really nice job for us.
You did, and you won the game 7-1 was the final, and the Cardinals are ready for the Reds today with Carlos Martinez on the mound. The Cardinals with their 20th win of the season, and when we come back, we will talk more about what they did this week and also what's to come in this upcoming week. The Cardinals are three games out in the National League Central. It's the Mike Shield Show. The Cardinals manager is with us. I'm Tom Ackerman. Back after this on KMOX.
Now, back to the Mike Shield Show on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome back to the show. Our tributes to Lou Brock on the way and John Mozeliak at 11:30. Graham Bensinger to talk a little football with us at 11:45. Mike Shildt, the Cardinals manager, is with us. We're talking baseball. Down the stretch they come. The Cardinals three games out in the National League Central, taking on the Reds this afternoon. Carlos Martinez is on the hill. In just a little bit, we'll ask Mike for his memorable play of the week, sponsored by Dolan Memory Care Homes. We'll have him pick a memorable play. In the meantime, I wanted to ask you, Mike, about a couple of news items. So first of all, Austin Dean is back, and that's good. First of all, good to see that he's healthy. Secondly, it's just another addition to your outfield, somebody else you can lean on. I personally like his energy and seems like a very positive fellow. Also, he's got some pop, doesn't he?
He does. He's all those things. He's a guy that enjoys playing like pretty much all our guys. They love playing the game and has enthusiasm with it. Austin's no exception. Yeah, he's got some thump. I mean, the ball comes off, as hot as anybody we got on our club. I mean, the exit velocity is as good as anybody, and it's a real positive, measurable. A lot of good at bats yesterday. Got down the count, worked his tail off to get back in the count, full count. Battled some tough pitches and laced a double in the left center field, and then had three walks after that. So he's earned another shot at it today.
Yeah, good. That's good to hear. Three walks for him yesterday, as you said, and Austin Dean with a good eye, 1-for-1, scored a run, walked three times. Cardinals got that win yesterday, 7-1 over the Reds. How about Dexter Fowler? How is he coming around right now, Mike?
Yeah, Dex feels like he's in feels better. I mean, Dex wasn't in a great spot. He just wasn't able to hold down food, appetite wasn't good, just, try to do different things with his medication that wasn't going to be invasive that would put him on the IL, but, got to the point where he just wasn't feeling good, didn't have a lot of energy, although he played well, and but did everything he could to stay with us, and just the medical group determined he needed to go on a little stronger medication, which is he's really responded to well. His appetite's back, energy back, strength back, so all positives for Dex personally, and, the thing about the medication just compromises your immune system a little bit, so. Obviously, in today's world, we want to be safe and smart about that. So, but he's resumed baseball activities and, trying to figure out what that medication and dosage looks like to possibly getting back to helping us.
In the meantime, you've been able to use Tommy Edman in right field. Edman also played some third base yesterday as you moved some players around. But, gosh, that's got to be a luxury, too, and you did this last year. But having Tommy Edman available to do some things in the outfield is great for you.
Tommy's a guy that he's a good player. He's a get-it-done player. Putting about anywhere, he's going to find a way to contribute. And, being a switch hitter helps as well offensively. It's hard to game plan for. So, yeah, Tommy's a versatile guy, and more versatility allows you to get on the field more. And it's, nice opportunity for you to manage.
Yesterday you had Dean out in left and then ended up moving him just to move some players around. You had Harrison Bader playing center field. Bader hits that home run. I know Lou Brock was smiling on that one. And the Cardinals went on to win the game 7-1. Also, Tyler O'Neill came in for a little bit and played a little left field. You have some options there, of course. You also have some pitching depth, perhaps, to reinforce your club. Could we see KK very soon, Kwon Young Kim?
Yeah, I think we could. I'll see KK soon, hopefully, even as early as tomorrow for game one. I mean, with him being out and Oviedo and all these doubleheaders, we're gonna need the pitching for sure. So threw a positive side yesterday, felt good, looked good. He was encouraged. Everybody else was encouraged as well. And so we'll see how he recovers today, and we'll take it from there.
What have you noticed from Carlos Martinez so far? What do you expect from your righty today?
You know, Carlos is getting back from his break. You know, went over about a month and a half without pitching in a game, but. Last time out, stuff was really good. Location was mostly good, but you know the ones that got over the middle of the plate, Minnesota put some swings on. So, but we were encouraged by the stuff. He's able to stretch out. Expect him to go out today and control counts and pitch deep in the game and give us a chance.
You had Matt Wieters catching yesterday. That brings to mind that at bat that he had. Mike Shannon himself said, "I've never seen a 20 pitch at bat." That's Mike Shannon talking. As this was going on earlier in the week, he ends up with a 19-pitch at-bat, fly out to center field to end it. It was remarkable. Mike, what was it like from your perspective?
It was fun. I mean, it was, it was a battle, obviously, and, bases were loaded, and I think they brought the lefty in foul bar right prior to that, and, I think they had anticipated, heck, I made my own club, but him going a little bit longer in the game, and they brought him in, and then Weedy, foul ball, barely, and missed a grand slam by just a little bit, and he was right on and taking good swings, and then Mike Maddox, our pitching coach, going Mad Dog, he's like, I don't know what pitch it was. He's like, well, I think he's won the teddy bear, he's kind of joking. And then Tommy Edmund was right there. We're just like, oh, my gosh. And I was like, how many is this? He thinks that's 16, and it just got to be it was just a great battle. The other part of it was, you had the bases loaded. So when it got to full count, which was probably about pitch six or seven, so you're talking about, Neil at second and Carp at first, the runners having to start every single time. So they got their sprint work in, and it was a fun at bat. Ended up flying out deep to center field, but, it was fun and clearly competitive and pretty much ended that gentleman's day, took all his pitches and pretty much won at bat.
That's really something. You split a doubleheader with the Tigers. You split a doubleheader with the Twins, a couple of AL Central foes. I'm sure you're proud of the fact that you went up to Wrigley Field and took 3 of 5. I mean, you want to win every game, but you took care of business against a team that you had to, Mike.
Yeah, we played good baseball, and that's the key to it. It doesn't guarantee anything. But we played really good baseball and put ourselves in good positions constantly throughout that series and executed for the most part and was able to go in and, take 2 out of 3 on the road before that in Cincinnati and then 3 out of 5 in Chicago and come back and played pretty darn good baseball as well.
Can I ask you a media question real quick before we end with our memorable play of the game? But I like this personally. On Sunday night, and I know ESPN's got their job to do and they interview the managers, but I like the fact that you said, guys, look, I got to go. I mean, I got to manage my team. I don't know what you think of that. They're doing their job and you're doing yours, I guess. But that, I just chuckled. I said, that's Mike Shildt. That's the Mike Shildt I know right there. He is focused right now.
Yeah, it's part of their rights holders, and, we can't get ourselves. There's obviously, because they invest a lot of money in our game and allow us to do what we do and help pay our salaries, and we have a responsibility and welcome that responsibility to be able to communicate and talk and answer and be a mouthpiece for the organization and the game. Once the inning starts and it's kind of time to go. And, I can justify doing it if the guy's taking in a bat, but as soon as Harrison hit that double in the gap, I have a responsibility first and foremost to manage the game and, respectfully said, hey, I need to go.
Yeah, and every second counts. There's no doubt about it, including right now, which is why we're going to let you get back to your job of managing the ball club and getting ready for today's game. But before we do that, Mike, your memorable play of the week. It's sponsored by Dolan Memory Care Homes. If you have a loved one with dementia that needs a safe place to live, contact Dolan Memory Care Homes, where they have no more than 11 residents per household. Visit dolancare.com. Do you have one for us?
There are several. One that comes to mind probably because it's freshest. You know, that was a big homer by Harrison yesterday, a big three-run homer out of the way, kind of broke that game open, set our bullpen up a little bit, you know, for today, a little bit, you know, in a few areas. So I'd say that's probably one of the bigger ones. But we had a good week and a lot of good memories.
No doubt. We're going to play that one as we let you go, and we appreciate it very much as always. Thank you for the visit, and have a great game today.
That'd be great. Thanks, Tom. Have a blessed day.
You too. There's Mike Shilton. Here's the call.
And the 2-0 pitch. Here it is. Swinging a high fly ball into right field. Back goes the center fielder. And this one's got a chance to leave the ballpark. It does. A home run, a three-run home run for Harrison Bader. And the Cardinals hit their third home run of the game. And it's a three-run home run. And the Redbirds jumped all over Cincinnati here in the sixth inning.
They sure did. And then another home run after that. Paul Goldschmidt hit a homer, and the Cardinals won the game 7-1 over the Reds. So it's a 1-15 start today for the Cardinals and the Cincinnati Reds. Molly against Martinez right here on KMOX. When we come back, we'll begin our tributes to Lou Brock from his celebration of life yesterday in Ferguson. That's next on KMOX.
From KMOX Sports.
Here's the pitch. Welcome back to Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Oh, yeah!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back. Tom Ackerman with you. Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. Looking back at yesterday's celebration of life for Hall of Famer, our great friend, Cardinals icon, Lou Brock. Here is Hall of Famer Ozzie Smith.
First of all, I have a message from number 45. For those of you that don't know, that's Bob Gibson. He said, losing Lou is like losing a member of my family. For 11 years, I couldn't wait for the announcer to say, play ball. I would keep my eye on Lou, because he always made a great catch, I think. In 1964, while we were playing in Milwaukee, a fly ball was hit to Lou. He took off towards center field from left field. And suddenly he turned around and took off the left field line. He jumped and caught the ball just before it went over the fence. And Bill White said, that was either the best or the worst catch I ever saw. We had fun. And while I was in St. Louis, we were in three World Series. And without Lou, maybe none. I'm going to miss him. The great Bob Gibson. Lewis Clark Brock, June 18, 1939 to September 6, 2020. When I was asked to speak today, first and foremost, I was honored. I said to myself, what do you say that hasn't already been said about a person who touched the hearts and the lives of so many? Lou was always a leader. So that led me to Jesus. And the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership. I'm not going to mention all of them, but I chose a few that I think Lou possessed that endeared him to his community, his family, and his friends. Let's start with the law of influence. Lou possessed this law because he influenced many through his work ethic, through his professionalism, and through his foundation. The true measure of leadership is influence. Nothing more, nothing less. Then there's the law of navigation. Anyone can steer the ship, but it takes a leader to chart the course. And chart the course he did for the St. Louis Cardinals after being traded from the Cubs in 1964. He charted the course to the 64 pennant, then to the 64 World Championship. He charted the course again, making it to the World Series in 67 and 68. His World Series batting average of 391 is the highest for anyone who played over 20 series games. Then Lou had the law of connection. Leaders touch a heart before they ask for a hand. Lou met the needs of so many. And that brings me to the law of sacrifice. A leader must give up to go up. And he demonstrated that if you wanted to be great, you had to serve. Then this is probably my favorite, and Lou certainly possessed the law of Big Mo, momentum. Momentum is a leader's best friend. Lou was one of those unique players who could change the momentum of a game with his legs as well as his bat. And ultimately, a real leader possesses the law of victory. Leaders find a way for the team to win. And then finally, there's the law of legacy. A leader's lasting value is measured by succession. And Lewis Clark Brock was a winner both on and off the field. Lou, I thank you so much for sharing your gift with the world. You brought us joy. It was a pleasure and an honor to be in your presence. Rest in peace, my friend.
The great Ozzie Smith right there. Here is Mike Shannon.
We celebrate the life of a very, very complex man, Lou Brock. Now, they're telling you about all the holiness that he had, and he did, and how humble he was and how kind he was. He was, but not on the field. I mean, he put the fear of God in the opposition. He was fearless. And he would go up to the catcher, and he said, "Now, you know I'm going to run on you." And he wasn't even on base yet. They talk about his base stealing. This man had over 3,000 base hits. And if he wanted to be a home run hitter, he could have been a home run hitter. In fact, when he was with the Cubs, he hit a ball in Wrigley Field that I'm still looking for. He went over the buildings, went over everything. And that was Lou Brock. He was such a complex person. Fearless was just one of his qualities. He had so many qualities. And one of them was toughness. I mean, you know, he was holy, but he was tough. He was the toughest man I've ever met. I mean, he irritated the opposition so bad that Sandy Koufax, who's about as nice a person as you ever want to meet in your life, if there was ever two people alike, it's Koufax and Brock in their kindness and in their example. But he irritated the Dodgers so much that Koufax threw at him and hit him. And he hit him in the back. Well, he paid for 2 weeks with a crack in his shoulder, a broken shoulder. He played for 2 weeks. And this was before steroids, so he just talked to God, and God made him well. But he played for 19 years, and he was never on the, we call that the disabled list, okay? Because when you were injured, you were disabled. You were nothing. Well, he was never on it, never. And he stole over 900 bases. He could have stolen much more if he'd have wanted to. But, you know, this is the man that I knew. Now, was he humble and was he kind? Oh, yeah. And was he an individual? Yes, he was. On the field, though, don't mess with him. Don't even come close to him because He was such a delight to watch. I mean, he entertained an entire community. If you went to the ballpark, I'll give you an example. Say you were the pitcher and the Cardinals were coming to town and you had 3 days to think about it. You were the starting pitcher in the first game. All he was thinking about was Brock. He said, if I can keep that sucker off of base, I got a chance. Well, he couldn't keep him off base. He'd walk up to the catcher and he says, "Now, you know I'm going to steal." And the catcher said, "Yeah, I'm waiting on you."
Much more after the news.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.